podcast is a service of Bridgeway Community Church in Rockford, Michigan. Thanks for listening. Here's today's message.
All right. Well, good morning, Bridgeway. How's everyone doing this morning? Everyone doing well? Doing good? Got the energy flowing? Ready to go? A couple summers ago, I want to tell you a story, something that sticks out in my memory as I think back. Two summers ago, to be exact, I'm playing basketball with one of my middle school students. And something unique about this student was he's an eighth grader, but as an eighth grader, he was 6'2", 6'3", and played basketball for Lakeview High School in Battle Creek, and he was really good. And so I'm playing basketball with him one-on-one, and because he's really good, and also because he was a middle schooler, I just, as youth pastor, I just could not let him beat me. And so I was giving a little bit back, right? Like, I was putting a little bit more of myself into this one-on-one game with a middle schooler than I typically would, because I didn't want to lose. And so he's guarding me, he's playing me uptight on defense, and I'm trying to create space for myself to put up a shot. And so I give him a little hesitation move, step back jumper, and when I land on my right foot, I experience what feels like somebody coming up behind me, winding up and kicking me in the back of my leg as hard as they possibly could. And I knew there were other people in the gym, and so I immediately fell to my knees. I'm looking around, and I'm like, who ran into me? And my buddy who is watching goes, no one, dude. And in that moment, I knew something bad had happened. And within 24 hours, I found out that I had a full rupture of my Achilles tendon in my right ankle. And so I'm staring down surgery and 9 to 12 months of rehab until I can really be back to completely normal or close to it. But I remember going into the surgery, the surgeon told me, hey, we're going to have to do something in your leg called a nerve block, where they literally shut down all the nerves for my entire right leg in order to do the surgery and to help me with pain after I come out of the surgery. And they told me it'd take a couple days. This nerve block will take hold, and it'll take a couple days for the numbness of your leg to wear off. And so 2 or 3 days post-surgery, I'm still experiencing nothing. I feel nothing in my right leg. You literally could have punched my leg as hard as you could have. I would not have felt an ounce of it. But I knew that the doctor said this was normal, so I didn't think anything of it. But then day 4 and day 5 post-surgery happens, and I still feel absolutely nothing in my right leg. And I'm starting to wonder, they said like a couple days. We're on day 4, day 5. I'm starting to panic a little bit. I'm trying not to show it, but internally I'm thinking, okay, I can't control anything here. I hope this is going to come back. I'm sure it's fine. And then I hit day 6 and day 7, and I still have absolutely no feeling in my entire right leg. I can't put any pressure on it. I'm on crutches, and I can't feel it so much that when I'm crutching my way through doorways, my leg is literally swinging and hitting doors, and I can't even feel it. And by this point, I'm actually starting to panic, because this thing that I've been in control of my entire life, all of a sudden, I have no control over. I'm calling the doctor saying, are you sure this is okay? This doesn't seem right. I can't feel anything. I have no control. No control whatsoever. And then luckily, a few days later, I started to get that tingly feeling back in my leg, and I could bend and I could move. But I remember that feeling of being completely out of control over something I'd been used to having control of in my life. And I want to jump into this conversation today, as Dan brought up earlier, about control. And what does it look like to want control? What does it look like to relinquish control in our lives? Because I know this about myself, and I think most of us in here can admit this, we don't like losing control. We don't like losing control. In fact, we love to have control. We love to be in control. Think about it. Even on an everyday, even thinking about your everyday, right? There's things in your life every day that we like to have control over. For some of us, that's something as simple as the TV remote control. We like to be the ones changing the channels every commercial. We like to be the ones picking what we're going to watch. We like to be the ones controlling the volume. We like to have the TV remote control. Or maybe if it's not that, some of us in here, I'm just going to be transparent, we like to have control over which way the toilet paper flows when we put a new roll of toilet paper on the dispenser. Some of us think it needs to roll over. Some of us think it needs to roll under. If you think that it needs to roll under, I will pray for you. I will. But having control isn't always a good thing. Sometimes it is. Sometimes having control is a good thing. Like when we're driving our cars, having control. One thing you're not going to hear me say this morning is that when driving your car, you need to learn to give up control and say, "Jesus, take the wheel." Not going to do that this morning. Some things are good to still have control over, but some things are not. Sometimes we might find that life would actually be much better if we let go of control of some things. Or if we gave it up, or rather, we gave it over to God. And so I want to dive into our passage, our scripture passage this morning. It comes from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 7. And while this passage doesn't specifically say the word control in it, I think it can be applied to our lives when it comes to relinquishing control over the things in life that we don't need to be in control of. 1 Peter 5, verses 6 through 7. They say this. "So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you." And through that passage, I believe we're given a roadmap for relinquishing control in our lives. And specifically, letting go of control and giving it over to God looks like three things. This passage can be broken down into three things. And so let's break this verse down, these verses down. And here's the first thing. When it comes to relinquishing control, we have to be denying ourselves. And that's the part of that passage that right at the beginning that says, humble yourselves. We have to be denying ourselves as Christ followers. You see, part of controlling things is getting stuck in this mindset that no one can do something better than we can, than I can. That there's no way something will get done in our lives unless we're the ones to do it. And if by some miracle it does get done, there's no way it's going to be done in the way that I would have wanted it to be done. If we're being honest with ourselves, we all live in this tension, don't we? I remember when my wife Dana and I first got married. If you don't know this, when you first get married, you learn some things about each other that you didn't know before. And I remember sitting down in the kitchen one day, we lived in Ohio at the time, and I see my wife start to balance her checkbook. And as I'm watching her balancing her checkbook, I'm realizing that she does not balance her checkbook the same way I balance mine. The way that she does it is way different than the way that I do it. And so I start to think to myself, oh my gosh, why does she do it that way? Why doesn't she do it the way I do it? You know what? I'm going to help her out. I'm going to let her know how I do it, and that will help make the process easier for her. Mistake. I was wrong in that. Should have just bit my tongue, kept it inside, just dealt with it, right? Maybe not, but then on the flip side, my wife learned something about me. She learned that when I load the dishwasher, I maybe don't load it in the most efficient way. So much so that there'll be times when I load the dishwasher, I step away, walk away from the dishwasher, and a couple hours later when I come back with a new thing to put in the dishwasher, I will open it up and see that everything I put in there before has been moved. Does it sound familiar to anyone? You see, denying ourselves and putting another person first starts with asking ourselves a couple of questions. And here's the first question that I know I have to ask myself when it comes to denying myself and putting another person before me. Am I willing to relent and compromise at all? Am I willing to relent and compromise at all? You see, if the answer to that question is yes, then boom. You're set. You can let go. You're good. You can let go of the reins a little bit and make it a team effort with another person. But if the answer to this question, am I willing to relent and compromise at all? If the answer to that question for you is no, if there's something that's a no for you, then you have to ask yourself a second question, and it's this. In the battlefield known as relationships, is this a hill that I'm willing to die on? Meaning this, am I willing to let a relationship deteriorate in my life in order to just keep control? You see, humbling ourselves typically looks like putting others before us. And specifically in this passage of 1 Peter, it looks like putting God's name before my own name. Denying ourselves before God is being willing to say, God, your will be done in my life. And I'm going to dig a little bit deeper into that in just a bit, but it looks like making sure our lives point more to God than they do to us. It's making God's name big and my name small. But what does that look like? So pointing people to God, if my life points to God, what does that look like? It looks like giving God the glory whenever something happens in life. Whenever anything happens in life, which sounds difficult because it is. If good things happen to you, you get that raise, you get that new job, you get married, if good things happen to you, God gets the glory. Bad things happen to you, and God is glorified through the way you handle it. You see, it looks like recognizing that God is bigger than anything and everything in your life. And it's being in awe of God because of who he is, and who he is good. That's who God is. Through all things, he is good. But this idea of denying ourselves before God, it can be difficult because of this second part of this passage, which is another way to relinquish control, and here it is. It's believing that God's timing is greater than our timing, which is a part of that passage that says, at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. Now, I can remember moments in my own life where something didn't happen the way I thought it would when it would, that I assumed something would happen for me at a certain time, and it didn't. And in that moment, I remember it made no sense to me. I thought, God, I thought you were lining this up to go exactly how I thought it was going to be. And it left me in a stage of waiting. But the thing about us as people, I think we all know this to be true, or at least we'll admit that this is us some of the time, if not all the time. The thing that's true about us as people is that we don't like to wait, do we? We don't like to wait. Waiting's hard. Waiting's difficult. We live in a culture of instant gratification. It's my money and I want it now. We're used to this. We don't like to wait because waiting is inconvenient. And yet, God does something in the waiting. We read story after story in Scripture of God having people wait and then working in them as they do. Whether that's Abraham waiting 25 years to have a child, and then being taught obedience through that, or whether it's Job waiting through his suffering and learning trust in God through that. Or maybe it's David waiting to be king for many years and then learning perseverance through that. And so too, we will grow through our waiting for God's perfect timing. And yet on the flip side, God's timing might be quicker than yours. It might be a little quicker than your timing. God might be orchestrating something in your life that you haven't lived into yet because you feel like it's happening too fast. You see, the other thing about us as people is that we also don't like to feel rushed because it's uncomfortable. If we don't like to wait because it's inconvenient, we also don't like to feel rushed because it's uncomfortable. Dan just brought up in the announcements one of these things that sticks out to me in regards to this and feeling rushed. We have a baptism service that's coming up in September. And for some of us, this has been a step that we've maybe even known that we should take in our faith journey. But we feel like, the timing's not right. The timing's not right yet for me to be baptized. My question this morning is, but is it God's timing? Maybe you have that question about baptism in the first place because God's put it upon your heart for a reason. And maybe we think that our timing is right, but yet our timing gets pushed back and pushed back and pushed back and pushed back to take a step in our faith journey when God's putting the step right in front of us, right before us, and saying it's time. Something that's challenging about being a Christian, though, is that God doesn't necessarily, he doesn't necessarily call our lives to be convenient or comfortable. And yet those are two things we seek to have control over in our lives. See, God's timing isn't always easy. But putting your faith in God's timing is acknowledging that easy isn't always what's best. The easy is not always what's best. And then there's this third way that this passage from 1 Peter shows us how to let God be in control. How to let God be in control of our lives. And it's this. Like Job in his suffering, it's learning to trust, which is that part of the passage that says, give all your worries and cares to God because God cares for you. Learning to trust. If we're going to relinquish control over some things in our lives and give them over to God, then we have to trust God with those things. We have to learn to trust God. In a lot of ways, we've all had to put our trust somewhere during this pandemic, haven't we? There's been a lot of anxiety, a lot of stress, a lot of worry going around during these times. And while it hasn't been a whole lot of fun, I think it's a prime opportunity for us as Christ followers because we can either let our concerns eat us alive or we can learn to give them over to God and trust Him through it. And again, this probably sounds easier than it is, but I do believe that that's a part of the abundant life that God calls us to. That if we're going to live a life that's abundant, we have to let go of some of these things we've been holding on to for so long. We have to let go of some of the worry, some of the stress, some of the anxiety that comes with everyday life and just trust that God has us in His palm. I can't help but think of Moses and the Israelites wandering in the desert for 40 years, waiting for the promised land. And something sticks out to me in this story, and it's how God uses the desert moments of life to do a work in us. You see, the dry seasons of life are where God does something within us. It's where God does the most in us. But that calls for trust from us. Trust in His plan. Trust that He's in control. Trust that He won't leave us in the desert forever. And that's the thing. God does have a plan. God is in control. And God won't leave us in the desert forever. He'll bring you through it. And as verse 7 says, He cares for you. You see, I have one of my best friends in life just recently, not too long ago. I got this super exciting news. I mean, just blew my mind. I was so excited for him and his wife. I got the news that they were pregnant for the first time. And they were not only pregnant. I remember the day where he tells me they're pregnant. And then a couple weeks go by, and he reaches out to me, and he says, not only are we pregnant, but we're pregnant with twins. And I'm so excited for them. I'm so excited for them because I've known that this is something that they've been praying for, praying about, praying over. And I couldn't wait to celebrate with them, go out to dinner with them, talk to them about what that was going to bring in life, what that meant, just as a friend, just be able to support him through that. And then I'll never forget when my excitement turned to slight concern as I get a text from him 2 to 3 months before the due date saying that they had been born prematurely. And I knew in that moment, I saw his excitement still, their excitement. I knew in that moment that there was some things that had to happen in order for things to continue to go smoothly, that their kids were going to be in incubators and be tended for and cared for, and they were going to have a lot of time in the hospital. But I was still excited. I still reached out in support and love and prayer. And then I'll never forget the moment when my slight concern turned into just genuine sadness when he reached out and let me know that one of his children had passed a week after being born. I'll never forget that. In that moment, I wanted to continue to love. I wanted to continue to support. I wanted to be there for him and for her in ways that I knew they needed it in that moment. I wanted to pray with them. I wanted to pray for them. I wanted to bring them food. I wanted to be there to talk to you. Not even to talk to you. I wanted to be there as a listening ear. I wanted to be there as a soundboard for them to process with. And through that process, I saw something happen in my friend. I saw him lean in to God. I saw him and his wife's faith grow through that situation. In a situation where I wouldn't have blamed them for 1 second for falling into just a deep depression and just wondering, why me, God? Why us? Why do we have to go through this? In a moment that could have easily been like that, I saw him lean into God. He actually said to me at one point, he said, I've seen God through this in a way I've never seen him before in my life. I'm experiencing God through this in a way I've never experienced him before in my life. And my friend actually came out on the other side, I believe, with a stronger faith today for having gone through what he went through and leaning on God through it and giving over control to God because he was living through a moment of life where he realized he never really had control in the first place. And don't we have those moments in life? I believe there are times in life when we do realize that we, as much as we thought we were in control, we find out that we really weren't that much. And in those moments, saying, God, your will be done in my life is dangerous. But I want you to catch this. It's dangerous in a good way. It's giving God the keys to your life's journey and being prepared to humble yourself, believe in God's timing, and learn to trust him in ways that you never knew you could. That's letting him be in control. Again, it doesn't mean that it will be easy. That doesn't mean that it will be easy. It might be the most difficult thing that you've ever had to endure in life. But you'll probably, I believe this, you'll most likely learn a lot about God and trusting him through it when you completely give it over to him. Whether it's a moment where you've lost control, it feels like life is spinning out of control, or whether it's just a slight characteristic that you know you've, or that you know, life characteristic of yours that you know you've been hanging on to for so long because you like the control over it. You like having control over something and being able to say which way it's going to go. And I think there's a passage that just encapsulates all of this for us. And so we're going to look at Matthew 4. I want to wrap up with this. Afterwards, I'm going to invite the band after this passage to come forward and come back up on stage and lead us in worship. But before they do, I want to read from Matthew 4, verses 18 through 22. And it says this: as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and they followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee preparing their nets. Jesus called to them, and immediately they left the boat and their father to follow him. And so my question this morning, church, is this. What nets are you fervently grasping onto in order to keep control in your life? What nets of control are the ones that God's asking you to drop in order to better follow him? Man, we've all got them. I've got them. You've got them. I'm going to ask the band to come forward at this point as we get ready to worship. But as they do, think of that. What are those nets that you've been holding on to? That in the moment when God says, Jesus says, hey, I want you to drop your nets and follow me, you've been grasping onto tightly and you're not willing to do so. Man, God calls us to relinquish control. God calls us to trust in him through everything in our lives. God calls us to drop our nets and follow him. And at times that looks like leaving things behind that we don't really want to lose control over, but God's got control. God's in control. And so, church, I encourage you this morning to think of that. In what ways is God calling you to drop your nets? What are those nets for you? And will you worship him? Will you praise him as you do so, as you drop those nets and follow him? Church, let's pray together. Father, I pray this morning. I pray this morning against an unwillingness in our lives to give you control. God, I pray against that in our lives. I see that as something that's unhealthy. God, I don't believe you've called us to a life of just grasping onto everything so tightly that we're not willing to just let it go when you ask us. God, that looks different for a lot of us. That could be a grudge against somebody. God, that could be needing control over every detail of our job. God, that could be looking to control the lives of our family members that we deal with on a daily basis, God, because we care for them. And because we care for them, we want the best for them. But sometimes maybe that looks like controlling too much. Maybe it looks like micromanaging. God, I don't know what that is for us, but this morning I'm not above asking that you would help us purge those things from our lives. God, when we do purge those things, when we let go of those things, I think we learn to trust in you more. I think we learn to trust in you better. I think we learn to follow you and follow in your footsteps, God. I think we start to humble ourselves, recognizing that we couldn't possibly know everything. God, that we couldn't possibly know the answer to everything. God, that is humbling. And so we do. We present ourselves to you, God, in just a humble posture, a humble position, saying, God, your will in my life be done. God, would your will be done in my life? Your will and not my own. I think I know all things at times. God, you know so much better than me, and so I give my life over to you in that way. God, I trust you this morning. We trust you this morning with our all. Not just a piece of us, but all of us. And we continue to praise and worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.
This podcast is a service of Bridgeway Community Church in Rockford, Michigan. Visit bridgewaycommunity.org for more information and other messages.